The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. This is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Many blessings to all of you that have tuned in today. You know I say it a lot, but God really is on the move, and He really is working all throughout the world. As many of you know, we just came back from, just a couple weeks ago, we just came back from a trip to Israel, and then we went to Greece. And let me tell you, it's just so amazing to see the places where Jesus walked, where the apostles walked, where the early church was established. And I've been there a couple times before myself, but each time it's just more and more amazing. Because many things, you can go there and you can go to the Garden of Gethsemane and you can see olive trees that were there at the time of Jesus. You can still go and you can walk down the Via Dolorosa, where Jesus carried his cross to Golgotha. And it's a very narrow road, and it was an uphill climb for him. He was climbing up that hill before he was crucified, carrying that heavy burden of the cross. And you can still walk down that road, and they have markings showing different places where Jesus stopped along the way. And you can go to the Garden Tomb, where many people believe Jesus was buried, and it's not far, actually. It's not far from Golgotha, and there's a garden there, but they left the tomb intact. They didn't change anything. They didn't, you know, build a church on top of it. They left the tomb intact, and you can actually walk in there and see the place where they believe Jesus was buried. So it was just really, really incredible, and it's more amazing, and it's more eye-opening every time you go there. Something really cool that one of the guides told us while we were there at the Garden Tomb is that you'll notice if you go to the Garden Tomb, there's a little hole that they carve out from the area where the bodies are kept. The rest of it's completely sealed off, and it's a hole. It's very, very small, so no one can get through it. You can maybe stick your hand through it, but it's a hole that goes into the tomb, and it's because the Jewish people at that time believed that after 3 days, that was when your spirit left you. And so they carved a hole into the tomb so that the spirit had a place to exit and leave and go off to be in paradise, which is really significant because Jesus was dead for 3 days, which is the same amount of time they believe takes for the spirit to leave the body, which means that in the Jewish people's eyes, Jesus would have been completely gone. His spirit was completely gone. But when he resurrected from the grave, when he came back to life, when he rose up, that showed that he had authority over life and death. And he did this once before too. If you look before, remember Jesus's family, if we remember the story, some of those close to Jesus, they came and they said that Lazarus was very sick, but Jesus didn't go immediately. He waited 2 or 3 days. And that's very significant. Why? Because when Jesus finally arrived, the scripture says in John chapter 11, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So what does that mean? According to the Jewish traditions of the time, if he had been dead 3 days already, his spirit was already gone. So even if somebody had the power to raise someone from the dead, according to the Jewish beliefs, it was impossible. It was impossible because his spirit had already left him. He had already been wrapped up, and he had been in the tomb for 4 days. But what happened? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead for 4 days, showing that he had authority over life and death. So that's a little segue, but that's something that was really cool that we had never seen before when we were in Israel. But one of our guides explained this to us, And it opened up this whole new level of revelation. And that's what it's been. One thing after another, after another, after another, is that God has just been opening up new things to us. And, you know, we've really enjoyed so much being there. I mean, by far the most humbling, in my opinion, the most humbling and impactful thing in the entire trip was the wedding ceremony. And for those of you who may not have been like listening for the past couple weeks or may not have been paying attention, we held a wedding ceremony in Jerusalem for those that were going to commit their lives and dedicate their lives to Jesus. This wasn't a salvation ceremony. This wasn't for people being born again. But the Bible says that we are brides of Christ, that we are supposed to be romancing him, that we're supposed to have a personal relationship with him, a love relationship with him. And so this ceremony, it's a statement saying to Jesus that you are my first love, you are my first priority, you take precedence over everything else in my life. And it was an actual ceremony that we went through where people gave vows to Jesus that they were committing themselves to put him first, to love him first, and to make him their priority. And I had the pleasure of participating this year. I've gotten to witness it a couple years, but this time, for the first time, I was able to dedicate my life in a marriage ceremony to Jesus, where he is truly my first love. And let me tell you, it really was truly humbling. It was truly inspiring because we get to partake in it together, that there was a whole group of us that we got to partake in it together. And I know many people, they were excited that they had this statement of commitment, this statement of that they were being committed, that on this date, that's their date, their turning point, the time that they're going to pursue God ahead of everything else, harder than they ever have before. And it was so humbling, and it was so eye-opening to see it. And it's cool because each person that I talked to about the ceremony and me personally, each one of us felt that we were personally touched and personally ministered to by God. And that's really something only God can do. It's the same way where, you know, 20 people can read the same scripture passage, but each person gets something different out of it. 20 people can listen to the same sermon, or, you know, 100 people, 1,000 people can listen to the same sermon and get something out of it. That's something only the Holy Spirit can do. And that's something that we want to allow God to do through us. And we've gone a little bit of a segue here, but I guess it's going to bring me to the point, which is that the Holy Spirit is leading us to go places that we've never gone before, to do things that we've never done before. We know that the disciples, when they were first filled with the Holy Spirit, they began preaching and teaching and sharing the gospel to everyone around them. And what happened? Right after they left the upper room, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began teaching and preaching and sharing the gospel, and everyone there heard them in their own language, in their own tongue. It's very much similar to how somebody can say a single sentence to a group of people, and each of them will get something different out of it. In the same way, God is able to make people hear things in their own languages. He's able to affect people on a personal level. We have to be a conduit for his anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We have to be a conduit, which is that I remember Pastor Mike was talking about this a couple months back. When something conducts electricity, it's not that that thing is the source of electricity. That thing is the source of power. It's allowing the electrical energy to flow through it. So when you have a power plug, for example, a power socket in the wall, when you plug a wire into the wall, the metal wiring inside that cable is a conduit that's allowing the electricity to flow. The cable is not the source of the power, but rather the outlet in the wall, which is going back to the generator. So when we plug into the Holy Spirit, when we plug into the will of God, God is flowing his ministering spirit, his anointing out of us to the people around us. And I'm just kind of jumping around here, I guess, but that's what I want to talk to you about. So each of us here in Israel, you know, God ministered to each of us personally. And now many of us have already begun to where he ministers to each of us personally. And then after we have his love inside of us, his anointing inside of us, we need to disperse it to other people. We need to let it flow out of us and go to other people. And what can that mean? Means that if God calls us to go somewhere, to say something, to talk to a certain person, we do it. We're allowing God to guide us and lead us. Because we don't know the full impact of what we're having to do. The important thing is that we do it, that we obey. That's the most important thing to God, that when he calls us to do something, that we obey. And it's like with the disciples. They didn't know when they spoke after being anointed with the Holy Spirit. They didn't know that all these people would hear the word of God in their own language. How would they know? How would they know that that would happen? It's the same way with us. When God says, go to this place, buy this thing, travel here, talk to this person, we don't know the full extent of what God is calling us to do. But we know that God has our best interest in mind, correct? And we know that God has everyone else's best interest in mind. So if he calls us to speak to somebody, he has their best interest in mind. He knows them better than we know them. This includes our family members. This includes maybe our wife or our husband. This includes whoever we hold dear. The truth is that God holds them even more dear than we hold them. But the point I'm trying to get at is that so God infills us and he ministers to us on such a personal level, right? I mean, how many times can you think of it's just when you know that God is speaking to you personally, whether it be through someone else, whether it be through the scripture. You can read a passage over and over and over again, but when it's illuminated by the Holy Spirit, suddenly it jumps out at you. But that's the thing. It shouldn't stop there. It shouldn't stop at us getting personal revelation from other people, getting receiving, right? But we need to give it out. So as Jesus said, what is the Great Commission? To go into all the earth and preach the gospel, making disciples of every nation. That's the most important thing. And that's what we need to apply in every area of our life. Because a nation doesn't just mean a country like the United States of America, like France. But a nation can also be an organization. A nation can be a business. A nation can be a community. The important thing is that everywhere we go, we carry the light of the gospel and we reflect it into every area. And we could never know what God is going to do with that seed once it gets out there. The important thing is that we have a willing heart and we are willing to go out there. If we look at the parable of the sower, and I'm sure many of you have heard this story before, but the sower throws his seed on the dirt, right? The first soil that he threw it on was hardened, a hardened heart. So the seed was stolen away. The second, the seed was covered in thorns. The worries of the world, problems with families, worries about finances, worries about your relationships, and they choked the seed. And that's what we need to pay attention to. If we have a hardened heart, if we're full of bitterness, our blessing and our revelation will get stolen from us. If we are so bogged down with family issues, with financial issues, with relationship issues, then our judgment gets clouded and it chokes out the revelation, which is why for any situation, especially the ones that are closest to you, you have to give them to God. You have to give them to God, and you have to say, God, I don't know what to do here, but I'm going to trust you. You know, sometimes concerning family members and concerning relationships, you have to put your foot down. And it's hard. It's really hard. Sometimes you have to leave people to their own devices and allow them to come back. Sometimes we just have to trust that God is going to take them down the right path. The important thing is that we remain obedient to God. But if we allow issues in our life, dramas, financial worries, if we allow those to bog us down, to choke out the revelation, then we're not going to be able to reproduce it. After he threw it in the thorns, he threw it in shallow ground, ground with stones, people who only want to be around when it's easy, when they don't have to work, when things are hunky-dory. I mean, when things are okay, and then once they have to work a little bit, then they disappear. And there's a lot of Christians who do that, where when everything's going great, praise God, hallelujah, and then as soon as things get bad, all the chips are down, anything's game. But what happened when he finally went to the soil that was good, the good soil? The seed grew up a stalk, and then that produced more seeds, which caused more wheat to grow. And from that wheat, more wheat grew, and more wheat grew, and more wheat grew. So it starts with our heart. It starts with our heart, and if our heart is right with God, if our heart is willing to listen to God, willing to obey God, then we can become a place for that seed to grow, and that seed to expand, and that seed to reproduce. Because then once our heart's in order, then we can begin giving out revelation and blessing to other people. Because we're blessed to be a blessing. Something that Pastor Chris always says is that if it's from God, and it's truly from God, then it's going to benefit you, it's going to give glory to God, and it's going to benefit his people. Because more people are being blessed through the blessings given upon you. And so, with all this that I've been talking about, so many of us in Israel got ministered to personally in our hearts, but it's not stopping there. God is calling us, and he's calling all of you. The time of harvest is now. The time of transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence is now. The time for the manifestation of blessings, of businesses, of finances is now. We need to prepare our hearts, and we need to step in to the calling that God has on our life. And if we do that, we're going to start to see multiplication, abundance, blessings, manifestations. And then, once we share the light of God with other people, they'll share it with those around them. And it'll be a chain of people all growing together and growing and establishing the kingdom of God, which is always what Jesus intended. That's always what Jesus had planned when he said, go into all the world and make disciples. So that's what we're doing here at Freedom Fellowship Church, and that's what we're going to continue to do. We actually have a lot of exciting changes coming here at Freedom Fellowship Church. We're working towards using some of the extra funds that we got to upgrade the equipment for this radio broadcast. We're going to start putting out additional materials through our website. So look out for that, because we really want to focus on discipleship, training, and preparing the body of Christ for this great move. Because Here at Sons of God Ministries International and Freedom Fellowship Church, we don't want Christians to just come in, sit in a pew once a week, and then that be it. You see, discipleship calls for so much more. Discipleship calls that we prepare other people so that they can disciple others. And then those that they disciple can disciple others. And so right now we've been doing some of that through the prophetic school, through the business school. And it's not just about, you know, business and planning, but it's about business God's way. And the prophetic school is about operating in the prophetic, about moving in the prophetic, hearing the word of God and acting on it. And so we're working now towards putting resources into expanding those areas, because this is something that I believe deeply and something that Pastor Chris also says a lot. It's that we should be thankful and we should be grateful, but we should never be satisfied. And so, because once we become satisfied with where we are, then we begin to settle in and we just kind of go with the flow. But God hasn't called, you know, his people to go with the flow. He's called us to excel and he's called us to grow. The beginning of Genesis, God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And, you know, people just think of that as procreation. Like, oh, make sure to have children and spread throughout the world. But when he says be fruitful, we need to produce fruit. We need to work hard and make things come to fruition. And so, you know, that's why we're working now to get, you know, our website. We are going to have more materials coming. We're working to upgrade our equipment here at the radio broadcast and potentially expand it and expand our reach. If you're interested in donating to help us grow in these areas, you can send your donations to our website, www.sogmi.org. And also, if you go to our website, then you'll also see past broadcasts of this radio show, and you can listen to them, you can download them to your phone, and if you keep an eye open, you're going to see new things start coming up there on our website, and it's very exciting. So before we go, and again, that website is www.sogmi.org, so check it out, donate if you are called to do it. We don't want anybody to feel pressured, but we want people to know that if they give to us, it's going towards expansion of training the body of Christ and preaching the gospel. But before we go, let me say a quick prayer with you. So, dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's hearing the sound of my voice right now. I thank you, God, that you are calling them to be greater and stronger in you and your anointing than ever before. I thank you, God, that you are personally ministering to each and every one of their hearts, God. And as they receive your light, I pray that each and every one of them would be compelled to go out and spread that light among those around them, to be a light in the dark place, to go into all the nations, to their communities, to everywhere, preaching your gospel and making disciples, God. I pray, God, that the body of Christ would not get satisfied with their current place, but that we would always press on to the mark of the higher calling, doing more and more and more that we can for you and your kingdom until your kingdom comes and is manifested here on this earth. We give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We all hope you were blessed by this message today. If you were, let us hear from you. If you wish to contact us or sow a seed, our phone number is 210-396-7891. And for Saturday's program, call us at 210-695-1630. Send all emails to sonsofgod@satx.rr.com. And all letters to P.O. Box 1579, Lotus, Texas 78023. For more info, including service times and upcoming events, find us at www.sogmi.org. That's www.sogmi.org.